For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glassner, Deputy Editor at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today is Heather Engel, Managing Partner at Strategic Cyber Partners. Heather, hello and welcome back.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
According to Dark Reading, Change Healthcare, a subsidiary of United Healthcare, faced another cyber attack, this time by the ransomware gang Ransom Hub, just weeks after it was hit by Alpha V Black Cat ransomware gang. The hackers claim to have an alleged 4 terabytes of data in their possession and are demanding a significant extortion payment. Heather, can you tell our listeners more about this situation?
Sure. Well, you know, this is the thing that we warn about, and it's when you are compromised or you have a ransomware attack, if you pay the ransom, you might not get the encryption key, your data might still not be safe, and you are very often a victim or a target of follow-on attacks. And that appears to be what's happening here. Change Healthcare paid a $22 million ransom. They did not get the decryption key. The hackers disappeared with the money. And now they're being hit again, this time because the data supposedly has not been leaked yet. And this is a treasure trove of data. There's a lot of personal information on U.S. military personnel, on citizens that had their data as part of the Change Healthcare system. And so this is the situation that we warn about all the time when we talk about redundancy in systems. You do not want to have yourself be in a situation where you feel like you have to pay a ransom.
And among the stolen information is the sensitive data of U.S. military personnel and patients, as well as medical records and financial information. This puts Change Healthcare in a precarious position, especially so soon after their recent recovery from a prior ransomware attack. What factors do you think might influence their decision on whether or not to pay the ransom?
This is such an interesting case study because we're all kind of watching it unfold as it's happening. But there's a couple of things, right? We can look at the quantifiable things and the qualitative things. So quantifiable is, you know, there's going to be an additional cost if the data is leaked. There may be that cost anyway, but if it's confirmed that all this data is out on the black market, obviously, there's going to be the cost of notifications to users, which they will probably have anyway. But then there will be all the typical things that happen when your data gets breached. You get offered credit monitoring and counseling and things like that. There's a quantifiable cost to that. We know how much that costs, and they can probably figure that out. Some of the things that are a little bit harder to quantify are things like the public perception. So far, according to the hackers, the data hasn't been leaked. If Change makes the decision to not pay and then the data is leaked, there's a public perception there. If they do make the decision to pay, again, there's public opinion on that, whether they should have paid the first time, the second time. And again, there's no guarantee that just because they pay the ransom, the attackers are going to keep that data safe. It's already out there. And so it's a really difficult decision that they're having to make here.
Yeah, those are some great points. Officials have called this situation a conflict between two rival gangs. Can we unpack this a little bit further? I've never heard of a conflict between ransomware gangs. Is this something you've seen happen before? And do you think we'll start to see more rival activity between ransomware gangs in the future?
This is a really interesting quote, and I'm not sure how I feel about this. I might disagree with it a little bit, and I'll tell you why. So the allegation is that the attackers, known as Alpha V, took the money and then just dissipated. They closed up shop. There is some speculation that some of those same attackers have come back together and reformed as a different group, and now they're asking for a second ransom. When they discuss it, or when they make the quote that this is a conflict between rival gangs, I don't know that there's necessarily a conflict here. It almost seems to me like the data already transferred hands, right? It already changed hands. And now we have another ransomware group who got it from the first group, and they're just trying to make back their money on it. So I thought that was an interesting quote, that they're caught in the middle of a conflict between rival gangs. For sure, there are rival groups in the underground. You know, it's a competitive market, just like we see when we're not talking about ransomware gangs, just like when we're talking about companies that are competitive within their industry. That's definitely a thing. But there's also partnerships, and there's also situations where one company will provide another company with information, and then they take that and they do what they will with it. And I mean, that almost feels to me like what's happening here.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about the politics between ransomware gangs. It's not something that has ever crossed my mind.
You know, it's not as loosely organized as a lot of people think it is. And we see ransomware gangs form and reform and people change organizations, but it's really not that different from what we see in corporate America.
It's really crazy. This incident raises concerns about data security in the healthcare industry as well. And in your opinion, what broader implications might this have for patient privacy and trust?
Yeah, the interesting thing here is that Change Healthcare was not a household name. They had data on millions and millions of people, and none of those people could have told you that Change had their data. And we see this a lot in healthcare. There's another organization called Epic that probably most Americans have their information in an Epic system somewhere, because when you go and you do anything online with your doctor or your hospital, it's very likely that that hospital is using Epic. And so Epic is also not really a household name, at least in this context. Change wasn't a household name. And this is something that we've started to hear rumblings from the U.S. government, you know, as far as the investigation goes. Well, why isn't the general consumer made aware of all of these companies within companies that are providing services and that have access to our data? And so, you know, from a broader implication for patient privacy and trust, it's very hard sometimes to know who in the background is handling information, because we outsource so many things. And that's especially true in the healthcare field.
And how can patients protect themselves and their medical information?
The bottom line is that with a breach of this magnitude and your data being within a system that you didn't necessarily know it was there and you didn't authorize it, you know, you gave the data to a doctor or a hospital or a pharmacy, and then they sent it to this Change Healthcare as part of a clearinghouse to process insurance and things. So you authorize them to do that, but you don't know who Change is, and you don't have a whole lot of control in that situation over what data might be shared. Now, some things that you can do to protect your medical information, you know, always ask why something is needed. And as an example, when my kids were younger and their doctors would ask for their social security number, I would always say, no, you don't need that. You don't need my child's social security number. The insurance is through me, they're dependents. And so I'm very proud to say I have two teenagers who have never had their social security number anywhere in any medical system. Yeah. And so, you know, always just ask why something is necessary. Just because it's on a form doesn't mean that you have to provide it. And I will do that a lot. I'll leave things blank. And if they come back and they ask for it, I'll say, okay, why do we need this? And if there's a legitimate reason, then I'll provide it. Another thing is to be careful how you send information. And this happens all the time where, you know, you might be corresponding with a medical professional, or I've worked with other clients that provide state and local government services, and people send anything and everything over email. And the bottom line is, be careful when you're sending things like that, who you're sending it to, how it's being sent. And again, asking why something's needed and what's happening to it.
I was actually recently affected by a healthcare data breach, and I wish I knew this beforehand. Heather, thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thanks, Amanda.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glasner, deputy editor at Cybercrime Magazine. To hear more about this story and others, visit cybercrimewire.com. And for more of our media, visit our website at cybersecurityventures.com.